We kick off the 1 o'clock hour, a little bit of a reset. Mets and Yankees both coming off decisive, but decisive victories nonetheless on Wednesday. Yankees, obviously, with the 6 home runs, sweeping away the Washington Nationals. Nolan McClain, obviously, the star of the night. The 8 innings of 4-hit shutout baseball, no walks, the strikeouts. I mean, just the complete complement of pitchers, keeping hitters off balance, a little bit old school, the emphasis when we're looking at, you know, the starting rotation. And you look at this Met team starting to find themselves. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. Now, it's got to go out there and continue. They've got 29 games to go, I believe, in this MLB regular season, within 4 games now of the Philadelphia Phillies in the National League East. And you like the fact that Vientos has got a 10-game hitting streak. You like the fact, I mean, you look at the idea of Juan Soto, who we spent, we've spent a lot of time talking about Soto, year number one with the New York Mets. Think about this. I mean, since late July, I think July 29th, Juan Soto with the runners in scoring positions hitting 400. I mean, his OPS is north of 1,100. I mean, and he was dreadful before that. It's not been your prototypical Juan Soto season, year number one. I think there comes a lot with signing for $765 million, obviously leaving the Yankees for the Mets. The pressure that comes along with the contract, the expectations that come along with the contract, and there was clearly an adjustment for Juan Soto. He's starting to hit to the level that you expect Soto to be, because he is a generational offensive player. Not a true 5-tool player, but what he can do up the plate is, and we've seen it, whether it be Washington, San Diego, the Yankees are now here with the New York Mets, we've seen it where he's been able to be that caliber of hitter. But it'd be fascinating when you look at this Met team being as dangerous as they potentially be can be come October, and you know, maybe the turning point to this season was not just the last 3 nights, because Philadelphia is clearly, when they step into Citi Field, they're seeing ghosts, to steal a line from Sam Darnold in that game against the New England Patriots. But when you look at the statement the Mets made, you can look at the last 3 games, but you could also look at the life that McClain has brought to this Mets starting rotation. Now, it's got to have a trickle-down effect. You're going to need Manaea, Senga, Peterson, obviously. We're going to see Jonah Tong tomorrow night against the Miami Marlins. Looking forward to that after seeing, you know, his strikeout-to-walk ratio in AA, AAA, and his dominant stuff that we've seen down in the minor leagues. And people have compared him to kind of being a modern-day Tim Lincecum with the extension that he has in his delivery. Looking forward to seeing what he can provide, but there's no doubt the brilliance of McClain. I think it's real. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. The confidence that he has on the mound, the pitches. You should be excited if you're a New York Met fan, and it has been a long summer. You know, as we wind down summer, you know, we hit the unofficial end to summer, which is Labor Day weekend, and football right around the corner. Big college football weekend upcoming. Ohio State and Texas on Saturday night. It's going to be a fun one with Arch Manning, the starting quarterback for Steve Sarkisian, the Texas Longhorns. But football right around the corner. It has been a long, you know, summer for the Mets and the Yankee fan. It really has been. Some disappointment, not exactly the summer where, you know, they've grabbed the bull by the horns, taken it and run with it. You had to earn it as a fan this summer. And I get it. And listen, that's the long 162 game MLB regular season. And there were times you questioned whether or not this Met team was good enough. We saw the reinforcements by David Stearns at the MLB trade deadline, but we can look at a turning point, maybe being McClain being called up, inserted into the starting rotation. We'll see what Tong is like tomorrow night. But Vientos is a big-time key to lengthen out this lineup. Unquestionably, he is. And so when you see him starting to resemble the hitter that he did a year ago, at this time of the year, late August, soon September, 29 games to go in the regular season, you can think about what kind of impact he can have. As far as the Yankees go, listen, they're playing good baseball. You know, they're beating bad baseball teams outside of, you know, the Nats. They sweep away Washington, you know, lost 3 or 4 against Boston. But it's kind of the same thing we've seen from this team in terms of, you know, when they face teams they should beat, they do it more often than not decisively. You know, and they hit 6 home runs and have games in which they put 11, 12, 13 runs. Well, the concerns you have with the Yankees, even in a wide-open American League, is, and the positives are going to be, you know, what you've gotten production-wise, power-wise, from guys like Grisham, year number one of Cody Bellinger. It'd be great to see Judge getting back. Giancarlo Stanton, this has been the best version of Stanton we've seen in a Yankee uniform. Positive. that Max Fried, his last two starts, has resembled the way the pitcher that he was to begin the season when he was one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. Even a wide-open American League, the concerns you have is when the home runs go away, can the Yankees go out there and generate an offense? How stubborn are they going to be with Volpe at the shortstop position? And can this team go out there and play clean baseball consistently to get back to where they were a year ago, which is the World Series, and back to the Fall Classic, and this time potentially go out there and win it? You know, have I learned anything? Like, did I take anything massively away outside of Stanton? I mean, I mean, Grisham's been a positive, and I don't think anyone expected him to have the kind of power production that he has had this season. Bellinger's been, you know, everything you could want year one as a New York Yankee. Stanton is the guy that I think he's got a lot of grief, has handled it well. He's got a lot of criticism in the city, sometimes rightfully so, sometimes justified, sometimes unjustified. I think what you've seen here from Stanton is the drive to win. And he's been arguably right there as one of the best hitters, if not the best hitter in Major League Baseball since he got off the IL. He's been remarkable. I mean, he's been utterly remarkable. And we know this about Stanton. When you get to October, he's going to hit. So what are you going to take away from the Yankees the next four games against the Chicago White Sox, who are 48-85 on the season? Not all that much. Expect them to win the series and not be all that surprised if they end up winning all four games. 110 on this Thursday afternoon. Mark Melusis with you. 888-808-1019. Have they given out the number for Jonah Tong yet, Puff?
They have. It is official. There is a number that Jonah Tong is wearing.
All right.
Do you want to guess what number it is?
Sure, why not? I like a good guessing game. Are you going to give me a range of numbers, or are you going to just...
1 like through 99.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, just start off with... Go start with the big numbers.
I just, playing off the last segment, I'll go 67.
No, I was hoping you were going there, and no, it's not. How about this? We'll say higher or lower than 50.
All right, higher or lower than 50.
All right, it's lower.
Lower than 50. I'll say 43.
Lower.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the last three Mets to wear this number. How about that?
Okay, let me hear.
Travis Jankowski, Zach Short, Ben Gamel.
I'm not good.
If I give you another one, I the next guy after that, I think you're going to figure it out.
All right, well, okay. I don't know. Let's see. 24.
Close. Lower.
Lower. 23.
Close, but lower.
20.
No,
Pete
Alonso's
20. Pete Alonso's 20.
What close, but higher. How about that?
Oh, okay. So it's 21 or 22?
It's 21. It's the former Max
22
Scherzer.
Soto.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm terrible with numbers. Yeah, there you go. I'm such an idiot.
Pete Alonso's 20, Soto's 22.
Yeah, no, I know. 21. There you go. 21. So he's got 21. That's a good number. Yeah, that's a good number.
You think that number will be retired anytime soon?
Oh, stop. Stop. let's head out to Belmore. It's Bobby. It's the fail. What's going on, Bobby?
All right, before I get to Tong, Moose, you know, Aaron Glenn's kind of very arrogant. And for a guy that's got his defense got killed in his last two playoff games, and, you know, I understand why he's upset because he doesn't have a quarterback, and, you know, he can't run the ball all game because this is in the mid 70s before the Mel Blount rule. So, so I understand why he's upset. But let me get to Tong. You know, when McClain came, they lit a fire under Holmes' ass because he was pitching terrible for like 8 starts. All of a sudden, when McClain came up, he was pitched very well the last couple of starts. And, you know, I don't think it's more than a coincidence that McClain lit a fire because he was going to be next to the bullpen. Now, with Tong, I think, you know, I call him Manua lately. Same thing, the way he pitched. But, you know, he did pitch better his last couple of days ago when Tong was going to get called up. And I know he didn't go long, but he did pitch better. And maybe there's a lot of fire under Bolton now because if not, one of those two guys is going to the bullpen in long relief for the postseason, if Tong pitches like nearly what McClain has done. And maybe he could light a fire under these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think everyone gets to a level. I don't know if you necessarily need someone to light a fire. I think maybe alleviate some of the pressure. The sorry rotation just was not good enough. It was not sustainable when you looked at the Mets. I've talked about the fact that I thought the Mets lineup was going to define this team this year. You couldn't have the starters barely going five innings and asking that bullpen to continuously take on that kind of work and not get gassed as the season goes along.
What could happen is this. If they go into a six-man rotation because they have 16 consecutive days. But once they go back to a five-man rotation, if Tong pitches well, the two or three starts that he's going to get, and Manaea and Seng continue to fourth. I know they've had injuries, so I'm not counting on them coming back. They're still coming back from injuries. But, you know, for the postseason, if Tong could get into the rotation and you put Holmes back in the bullpen, and then you could put a Manaea against the lefty team like the Dodgers. They play the Dodgers in the first round or the Padres. Then you could put Singer in against the righties, you know, with their right-handed lineup. And that's a long hit. And one of those guys is going to make the postseason roster for the first round. But, I mean, if Kong pitches near, I mean, the guy's been dodgy. Everyone knows he's been dominant in Double-A. You know, he's been striking out a lot of guys in Triple-A his last two starts. And, if he does pitch well and those two continue to fall, so you could see Peterson, McClain, Tong, as your postseason, you know, first round. I mean, I know I'm jumping the gun here, but
yeah, I mean, just a little bit. I mean, Bobby, we have not even seen Tong go out there and make his major league debut.
Well,
and yeah, I mean, right. I get he's looked. Yeah, no, it can lengthen things out. There's no question. I mean, it can, and you know, you can find different ways. Listen, the Dodgers won a World Series last year, and they had games where they used openers and leaned into that bullpen. So, you know, there's different ways. You know, you could sense it. You get a feel what McClain has provided this Met fan base, which is a general sense of excitement, you know, and just, you know, hope, you know, because you were watching this starting rotation and you could look at it, the people criticizing Stearns not good enough, Montas signing disaster. Yeah, Holmes is good. He's not great. You know, concerned about the amount of innings he throws, doesn't throw enough strikes. The amount of work the bullpen's going to log, and McClain has changed that conversation. Now, listen, if you go out and if Tong is nearly, it's hard to think that in three starts, Jonah Tong is going to have a 0.89 ERA like Nolan McClain's been able to do for the New York Mets. But if he is nearly as dominant, then yeah, he's going to throw himself into the discourse and throw himself into the conversation in terms of being that guy come the Major League Baseball postseason and the playoffs. Rob in Smithtown's up next to the fan. What's going on, Robbie?
Hey, Moose, always awesome to hear you on the air.
Thanks, Rob. What's on your mind, bud?
Hey, not much. You were talking about Fields and the Jets before, and, you know, you were saying, like, how you can have all the talent in the world, but, you know, sometimes you just got to be a modern quarterback to succeed, and kind of just expand on that. What's going to happen if and when they fall behind? Like, he's going to have to throw, and you know teams are going to start the game plan where they're going to just try to get out to these fast starts on the Jets, and it'll be interesting to see when that happens and, you know, how much of a threshold or how much, you know, the coaches will be okay with kind of just sticking to the plan, sticking to the run game. At what point do you just abandon it and you're just going to have to throw? But, I mean, if he does, look out, because then this team's going to be awesome if he could do that.
Yeah, Rob, but what would lead you to believe that he can? Like, if you look at Justin Fields, I mean, his career completion percentage is 61%. His high-water touchdown throws in the season is 17 that he did in 15 games. Now, you know, he's also gone out there in 2022, and he ran for 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns for the Chicago Bears. Now, is that necessarily sustainable when you're looking at the quarterback position? Okay, and, you know, and that was, you know, there were a lot of people in the National Football League that said, well, he combined that year for, you know, what was it, 25 touchdowns, I believe, on the season, you know, and had nearly 3,500 yards of total offense, and saying, well, Justin Fields has arrived. Well, I need a quarterback that's going to complete more than 60% of his passes.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think they're just hoping and praying, really, that him and Garrett Wilson.
Well, you listen to Mugi today, and Mugi's telling you that, well, you know, just like Baker Mayfield led the Browns to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's like, true. I think they're hoping it's going to be Ohio State all over again, and they're just hoping.
No, I get it, but like not like the comps are not it, like it's nauseating to a point. Like you can't compare him to Mayfield. Mayfield got in his own way at times with the Cleveland Browns. The concern with Baker Mayfield too was, you know, the size, you know, at times a little bit too much of the moxie that was unquestionably is about a leader, but you know, was it gonna be able to translate? But you know, Baker Mayfield had success with Cleveland, didn't end well. And then had him, found him, you know, and then landed down in Tampa, where it's a very pro quarterback, pro throwing quarterback system. Now they've gone through a number of different offensive coordinators. I mean, you step in and take an OC job down in Tampa, and you have success with Mayfield, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, you know, and that passing game. You're going to be in line to go out there and get a head coaching opportunity. I mean, two head coaches have gone out there and have become head coaches in the National Football League after being OCs down in Tampa. So we've seen it, right? So you put, you know, you're minimizing what Mayfield was in with the Cleveland Browns. So I, you know, we'll see. And Muji's being positive, spinning positive. We've seen signs, we've seen growth, we've seen strength, better rhythm, all these things, all positives, all football cliches, all quarterback cliches. We'll find out exactly how it looks against the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I think it's got to look decidedly different than what we have seen. And it can't be necessarily you have to see it week one, but as this season does go along, because you've got to be able to throw the ball better than what Fields has shown him himself the ability to do so in the National Football League over the course of his first 4 years. You know, 3 in Chicago, 1 in Pittsburgh. You can't be that throwing the football at the quarterback position and have sustained success. That's the issue you have.